Agriculture, Industry, and Planning Committee to order. Brad?
Blame it on Hilda.
For December 1st. Okay, it's Hilda's fault too. Hilda, lead us in the pledge, please.
The flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I need approval for the minutes from November 3rd.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. So Eric Rode, Buildings and Grounds, you're first up. Got quite a list here, buddy.
It's quite a list, but
I don't think the mic is on, Eric. There you go.
Hello, there we go. I'm good at with this mic thing. So got really one item for the agenda today. I'm requesting authorization to solicit bids for the annual testing and monitoring of all the county fire alarms and suppression systems. They're all due for renewal. It's mandated by the state through the codes. It's your sprinkler system, dry and wet systems that are in some of the IT rooms, and then the backflow prevention devices. They check all those yearly. So we were going to put them all out to get them together to hopefully to get some better pricing, and they're due to be done at this point.
Just a short time out. County attorney, can we put all these into one resolution for approval?
Yes, because it's going to be all one contract, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I need a motion.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
So thank you.
Knock that one out.
I have a question for Eric, or have we closed on the Serview?
We have.
Building?
Pen to paper day before Thanksgiving or around or the week before.
And when will the state come and look at it with Judy?
Actually, today. Eric's about to get in the truck.
Oh, good.
I was going to talk to you about me getting in the truck and going down there too after this meeting.
Okay.
So they're coming at 11.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Well, it looks at the agenda. You will have plenty of time to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if that goes well with the state, then what?
So they'll... Hopefully, based on the layout of that, they don't recommend any substantial changes to the layout. If you recall, the layout of the Hornell one was more of like a very small reception window. And then, so there was a pretty good amount of work that Eric's crew and contractors had to do to make the counter space and everything work, because they, and then what the primary issue is going to be is kind of setting up. They have the line of sight for people taking tests, so we have to work through them with that. There might be a little renovation that needs to be done for that, but hopefully pretty minimal.
Nice.
And then the state IT folks have to bless everything. But the good news is we have money in Eric's budget. We're connecting. Southern Share Network is just right on that road. So we can just do a lateral, and I mean, it's a couple thousand dollars, but we can do a lateral. So it's connected to the county network. So everything nice. Comes back. So we just really need to get what changes in physical space they want or are recommending. And once they do that, we'll either, hopefully it's minimal where, you know, we can do it by quotes or, you know, work with Eric's crew and mobile work maybe to get it done. If it's more extensive, like the last one, you know, we'll work with the contractor, but, you know, we're not talking, you know, a year or anything like that. We're talking hopefully months.
So Jack, was the state involved in the preliminary review of this building or?
They were aware.
Okay.
So we worked with Judy to make them aware of our intention or your intention at the time when you were looking at it. So they have been put on notice for a year and a half that this was coming. Okay. Now this is just the formal site visit.
Thank you.
And then Hilda, we'll have a ribbon cutting ceremony when we pound the for sale sign in at First Street.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the old county courthouse.
Yeah.
Be the next step.
Yeah, you can't dig in Corning without some approval.
Any other questions for Buildings and Ground Supervisor, please? All right. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah.
Matt, planning. You're up with some contracts.
There's people in Salamanca.
Yeah, so first up is just the 2022 contracts. Those are pretty cut and dry, just the contracts that I regularly manage every year out of the 2022 budget, just with updated figures from last year. So I don't know if you have any questions related to that. I think I included just a breakdown.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any questions? And Matt, these were updated from the 21 levels, right?
Yes, they were.
I remember last year.
Yes, okay. Thank you for holding on to that. I have stress dreams about that as well.
You're never going to live it down.
Supremely embarrassing. Yes, these were updated numbers. They should all be accurate.
I figured you were going to be fastidious about it, but
oh my God.
Just asking.
Thank you for remembering. And I'm going to miss you when you're
oh, there will be a few. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
All right. And my next one is not quite as cut and dry, but I do appreciate you guys letting me speak on this. Jack, you may be a little more aware of I am about how much you all are briefed on, I guess, our ARPA proposals. I proposed back in July $100,000 for a comprehensive plan. The reason I'm asking you, I'm coming to you at this committee is part of that proposal, we had a Climate Smart Communities grant that Chelsea Robertson from STC is here, and she can represent that part of the project and answer any of your questions related to that half. But this comprehensive plan that would be funded by you out of the ARPA dollars would be used directly to match that $100,000, or actually $115,000 Climate Smart Communities grant. So this is basically a two-for-one proposal in terms of you would get a $100,000 comprehensive plan, which the county has never done before. And this would be a community-generated plan with outreach sessions and a real grassroots effort, and something that we've never really done before, creating a community-generated vision for the next 30 years for the county at an opportune time, in my opinion. And then the second component is you would get a Climate Smart Communities plan for a bicycle and pedestrian master plan, ultimately the goal being a stepping stone to opening the door for a lot more Climate Smart Communities grant funding for economic development and a lot of the components that are funded by that DEC program. So Chelsea can talk a little bit more about that, but the reason it needs to go to the committee now is the Climate Smart Communities grant, we need to know whether we have the matching dollars in place. Otherwise, we'll need to pull the funding for that application, and they're expected to make awards fairly soon. So if we don't get the matching funds in the form of the comprehensive plan, we'll have to withdraw our Climate Smart Communities plan. It doesn't mean that you can't decide to fund a comprehensive plan standalone by itself at a later date, but you would be losing out on that $115,000 Climate Smart Communities grant, and thus the stepping stone and opening the doors for more Climate Smart Communities designation and thus more grant funding down the road. So.
And it's probably, thanks, Matt. And it's probably been a few months since we talked about this. I think if our first or second ARPA meeting, when we had the request from the departments, we spent some time on this as being one of the items that, as staff, we would recommend a good allocation for that. And I believe we mentioned the use of leveraging the Climate Smart Communities as part of that too. So it's been a few months, probably late summer, since you guys have talked about this, but just we have put it on the table, I think, before.
What could you possibly spend $215,000 on in developing a comprehensive plan?
So the comprehensive plan would be used for to hire a consultant. That consultant would, so we would organize an advisory committee. My vision being that would include a representative sample of some of you, some community members, maybe some department heads, some at-large community members, mayors, supervisors, etc. That advisory committee working with the consultant would do a tremendous amount of outreach as far as, I mean, this is a different plan in terms of we're not hiring a consultant to go back to their desks and crunch numbers. We're hiring a consultant to organize workshops, public meetings, advertise the participation and public participation for this plan, because this is really a grassroots plan that are generated by surveys and information gathering from all members of the county, from the community members. So that money would be, that would go toward not only plan development, but that tremendous outreach effort within our communities to gather all of that information. And that's a major task. And honestly, and there, another reason why I'm coming to you now is this is a comprehensive plan start to finish is probably a 2-year project.
Yeah, so I was going to ask for the expected duration.
It's probably about 2 years, I'd say, but 2 years from now, I would have a plan in hand for ready for adoption.
Once you have a plan, those usually live for about 20 years.
30. It would be a 30-year plan. It would be a Steuben County 2052 vision plan.
And we, so the 100,000 is the estimated cost. We obviously would have to issue an RFP.
We would have to issue an RFP for $100,000, and we'll see what kind of bids we get. My understanding, and I've talked to a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of planners, I've been in touch with the Department of State, who kind of has their finger on the pulse of a lot of county comprehensive plans that have been done. And I think it's reasonable. I think $100,000 is reasonable. Could I use more money and have an absolutely fantastic plan? Yeah, I could. But I'm trying to be reasonable with my ask as well.
Carol.
From my history, comprehensive plans are like a living document that they have to be changed. You can't go 30 years and not look at it. So how would you follow up with, you know, consistent looking at that plan?
That's a fantastic question. They're typically updated every 5 to 10 years. I anticipate this plan ideally would be updated every 10 years. 10 years from now, we would go through an update, and that would require a small amount of money to go through that process. It's a drop in the bucket compared to the initial funding. Once you have a plan in place, updates are much more cut and dry because you have the framework of the document already exists.
Any other questions? Hilda.
So the city of Corning has had a master plan for a number of years. They've updated on a regular basis. They're going to, from what I understand, they're going to do another one, another full effort. So I would hope that this one and that one would work together.
100%. I would anticipate that Jennifer Miller, the planner for City of Corning, would probably be on our advisory committee.
Perfect.
Okay, Bob.
My question is, the plan, what are you looking for? Are you looking for what people think we ought to be doing green-wise? Or are you looking at what people in this community, this county is thinking that the county needs to go forward with? What you're going to try to plan to have more factories or type of industry, or what are we looking at here?
It's comprehensive in the exact sense of the word. It's all of the above. And it's what people want to see.
Okay.
Yeah, there would be a lot of outreach with businesses, with our workforce development agency, those sorts of experts in the community, also not obviously the community members and the elected and appointed officials of our municipalities are very important, but the businesses and community members as well.
Steve, okay, I've seen a lot of comprehensive plans, some over the years, a lot of them, they fade away after a while. If you're going to spend this kind of money, I hope it's something that's worthwhile.
Yeah, we're not just going to put it on shelf.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's why, you know, ARPA, in our discussions back in the summertime when Matt, Chelsea, and I and Chris were talking about it, ARPA seemed like the ideal. You know, it kind of came about at the right time because ARPA is, you know, it's the money for you folks to be able to use for transformative efforts, and a comprehensive plan being something that we haven't done kind of fits that bill.
And I'd also like to say that I wouldn't be coming to you and asking for ARPA dollars, because I know that's valuable funding, if I thought there was viable alternatives to fund this project. There hasn't been a comprehensive plan grant from the state funding plans like this since 2015. And even then it was a 50% match. Department of State just released a grant this past summer that funded comprehensive plans, but counties were excluded from that funding. So it was only town, city, and village. So we were not, and that was ultimately my plan, was to go after that grant money, but counties weren't an eligible applicant.
Steve,
I've just seen we did a comprehensive plan for this Pinnacle State Park years ago in Addison. The state basically paid no attention to it, and now they're going to close the park, tear the building down, and turn it into forest land. So that plan was basically a waste of time because the state, the figures in the state authority, didn't want to do it.
Yeah, but this is a comprehensive plan for our county, which we are the drivers of.
Yeah, I
know that. Steve first, then Kelly.
How many of our localities have a comprehensive plan? And would this be, and assuming we do this, would this be something that they can sort of piggyback off of?
Yes, that's a fantastic question and point. Off the top of my head, how many? 60% have comprehensive plans. I will say, though, some of them are in my desk if you'd like to dust them off. 1967, 1951. I'm not even kidding because I digitized them. It's a nightmare. scan a 70-year-old document. Challenge you. It is, so 60%. But yes, that's a fantastic point, and that's part of our goal would be to create a document that those communities that don't have a comprehensive plan can piggyback off of and emulate, or even, I mean, they wouldn't adopt it themselves, but they could certainly adopt a lot of the concepts. And it would be generated from representation from their community as well, especially if we do it the right way. And then those communities that do have a comprehensive plan could look to this one as guidance for potential updates.
Okay, Kelly.
I've been an advocate for internet across the county because we don't have access to it in many areas. Also, changing transportation, expanding the transportation. And then the other thing that we have kind of looming in the future is the EMS study and the provision of services for emergency medical. How will the comprehensive study help us in those efforts? I want it to help us, but I also don't want to wait another 2 years for us to be moving forward on some of these other countywide things that need to be done. So how do you do, would it, if it's in process, does it still help? And how do we build all those items into it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, transportation would certainly be a major component of it, and looking at our transportation systems. I know you and I have had conversations about more comprehensive transportation studies, which I think both would feed off of one another, and also both going on simultaneously would feed off of and leverage and benefit from each other. This would touch on broadband expansion. It would, and what this would do was it would lay a foundation for, and it would be kind of a springboard forward for a lot of those major projects. A lot of grant funding looks very fondly upon a municipality applying for funding that is codified in a comprehensive plan that's community generated. So just having that as a foundation is mm-hmm. beneficial.
Right. But that makes it sound like we're going to have to wait 2 years in order to move ahead on some of these projects. And to me, a piece of that is just not acceptable.
No, I certainly for broadband, you're going to be moving because if you choose to use your ARPA funds, you're going to have to, you know, set aside the fact that you want to, and we should because of the emergent issues, but broadband won't be held up because of this, that it's an ever changing landscape too. So no intentions, Chelsea and I actually yesterday were having more discussions about the grant and other things broadband related. So that's going to be on the fast track as much as you all want it to be. So that wouldn't get held up. The bus, and transportation, you know, I can't say, you know, you could certainly make a decision, you know, to change things. A lot of it would be funding based, but you could take those actions in between, no matter what. And then the EMS, kind of the same boat. And pretty much every county is looking at this now based on the conversations I'm having with my peers. So I'd say it informed the plan, but it certainly, you could take those at whatever pace you choose.
Sure. I'm in favor of a comprehensive plan because I think it's good to have a roadmap and that we all have our input on it. But like I said, just these few other issues, they can't wait 2 years for the roadmap.
No, I understand that. I'm a good multitasker.
No, but having,
thank you.
Having served on a town board and developing a comprehensive plan years ago, knowing that the comprehensive plan is integral to being able to jump off on economic development opportunities too, that's what piques my interest about, because it, if you have that plan in place, you set yourself up as a county of being in a much better position of getting future grants.
That's the entire goal of this plan. Right. It's the community having an opportunity to tell us what the community that they want to live in looks like in 30 years. Mm-hmm. And then how do we get there? And economic development and quality of living is paramount to all of that.
Mm-hmm. Scott, did you have a question?
Yeah, when we're marrying our money with a grant called Climate Smart Communities, I'm wondering if Chelsea could just give us an explanation on what that title means.
I will let you take it from here.
So we've done this a couple of times. Hello, all. So one of the goals, I mean, we saw the ARPA money coming in, STC. Oh, sorry, I should introduce Chelsea Robertson, for those of you who don't know me, from Southern Tier Central Regional Planning Development Board, talking not about broadband this morning. but, you know, one of the things that we saw was we see this ARPA money coming in. We've been trying to say, how can we maximize these dollars? We want to see these matched every which way. So what programs are out there that we can match them against? This one came about. Climate Smart Communities is a DEC-run program, similar to, but different in all the right ways, from a NYSERDA program called Clean Energy Communities. So they do run in tandem. What we're seeing with both of these programs, Clean Energy Communities and Climate Smart Communities, is that people need to become certified communities in order to get money. And that's concerning. And I don't want Steuben County or other municipalities to be left behind. So what does that mean? For Climate Smart Communities, they have a long checklist of making progress towards this goal. Some of those, the reason I like Climate Smart Communities as opposed to the NYSERDA program is that a lot of those are planning related, just good planning practices, such as a comprehensive plan. Have you talked to your community about what they want? So we did this, Scott, in very much the same concern was in Schuyler County in 2012 and 2013. Schuyler County took on a comprehensive plan, countywide comprehensive plan process in order to help their communities come up with their own comprehensive plan and zoning updates. They had a lot of concerns about the energy pieces of this, mostly because they were more targeted towards urban areas and we were working in many rural areas. And how does that apply? You know, are we asked, and the way that Climate Smart Communities responded to that is you present the topics, you present walkable communities. Does it make sense to make, actually we had this conversation in Caton, you might've been around for that years ago. Does it make sense to make town of Caton a walkable community, or what does that mean in Caton? And Climate Smart Communities says, as long as you present that as a part of the discussion, that's all we're looking for, is this community input, these ideas to be discussed and talk about clean energy as a part of that discussion, which honestly is good planning we should be doing anyway. Does it apply in every community? No. City of Corning? We're absolutely looking for City of Corning. There we are. I knew you were here somewhere. We're absolutely looking at, and I'm talking to Jen Miller about the walkable communities, especially in expanding some of that walkability. So these are kind of, they go in tandem. The other advantage is $100,000 is enough for a comprehensive plan. Can it be more? Of course, it can be a lot more. But if you marry it with another grant, we find a lot of efficiencies. So one of the things that you get points for with Climate Smart Communities is creating a task force. That task force can be your comprehensive plan committee. So by creating a comprehensive plan committee and committing that you are also doing this, you already get a point. And then you get to say that on every grant that you write, we're progressing towards Climate Smart Communities, knowing there's 20 things that you have to do. You may only have two or three. That is something I can't say right now in Steuben County. So that's maybe answered your question.
So but one of the requirements won't be that 80% of us have to have electric vehicles.
No, no, the requirements are determined by the community. No, so I can tell you, you know, the biggest piece to this that we're the most excited about really is the bicycle pedestrian master plan for a number of reasons. One is it's just a really good thing to have in your rural community. You guys have a really decent rural transportation, but the bar is pretty low. We'd like it to be better. And this would be, as Matt and I have talked about, we've talked a lot about an update of the transportation plans in Schuyler County in the future. I think infrastructure money coming down, especially through ARC, are going to be able to potentially fund that. This would be moving, progressing towards that, creating a baseline, getting more information. All of these things happening will happen simultaneously or potentially. It's a lot. And
you know, ARC is Appalachian Regional Commission.
Correct. So some of the other, Scott, some of the other goals are you create the committee, you do a vulnerability assessment, which means you just look at all the municipal private building or municipal and private buildings and facilities, transportation infrastructure, create a matrix of climate hazards. I mean, a lot of this is, we're going to be talking about flooding. I mean, this is, you know, that's a part of it. I mean, that's, we're in STC does it. So some of these pieces we've identified STC would be good at. Others I've talked to Matt, I really think should be a part of the consultant, could be the same consultant and probably makes a lot of sense. And again, efficiencies there that a comprehensive plan would have. You get points for just reporting out the data you collect to the committee. There's all these check boxes that are not hard to get. So we tried to put all the easy ones in there so we could start progressing towards that goal of a climate smart community, or at least be able to say on a grant that we're working towards it. A gap analysis of what information is not out there. That's a checkbox. The bicycle, pedestrian comprehensive or bicycle and pedestrian plan. And then the comprehensive plan is the biggest part of that. So that's part of the match. So for $100,000, you're getting a $215,000 plan and some efficiencies and being able to say on your grant applications, one, you have a comprehensive plan, which is also asked on your grant applications. And two, you're progressing towards climate smart communities. You're welcome.
Okay. Hilda.
So one of the, well, while I was on city council, and Steve probably can attest to it as well, with our comprehensive plan, council members would bring things up. We need to do this or we need to do that. And it was always a challenge. Does it fit the master plan? And if it didn't fit the master plan, excuse me, we had to have a really good reason why we wanted to do it. Because if it doesn't fit, then, you know, maybe it isn't going to get done. But the other thing was, we talked about getting things done right away. And if I'm not mistaken, the waterfront plan that we had many years ago, it's taken a long time, but we've now started in Hammondsport to do some of that work. So it took a while, but we're getting some of that done. So sometimes it doesn't happen right away as much as we want it to happen. Money is an issue sometimes.
How can Cuca Lake be a waterfront for the city of Corning?
I'm telling you, I've switched into the master plan. I said number two.
Okay, so I do not believe we have a motion. I'd like to hear a motion on this question of ARPA funding for comprehensive plan. Didn't I have a motion?
Oh, I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second. Just to comment real quick on everything that everybody said. I do think it's the opportune time to take advantage of this project with the ARPA funding. It sounds like a good idea to me. And I commend these guys for wanting to take on the project and do something like this. I know maybe it hasn't worked with some of the other surrounding communities, but you know, taking on this project, having the ARPA fund to do it, and to be a pioneer and innovator to the rest of the district, and showing them that we can get something, Steuben can get something like this to work. So I'm all for it.
Fred?
Yes. Would this be a jumping off point, so to speak, for the communities that don't have a master plan to help them on their way?
Absolutely. So in Schuyler County, when we did kind of model this after a program we did in 2012, 2013 in Schuyler County, most of those communities did not have zoning or comprehensive plans. So they did their countywide plan. And then the way they did it, and I've talked to Matt a little bit about this, I thought it was really beneficial. Different animal. I do recognize that between Schuyler and Steuben, but they were able to get after within the 3 years that followed that comprehensive plan being adopted at the county level, we got three additional comprehensive plans from communities, which is, you know, a third of their county, and two additional updates to zoning laws because they were able to be guided by that initial effort of collecting information and knowing what the goals of the community members are. I mean, it really is that's how we progress. And it really does provide a great benefit to the communities for those that are wanting to take those projects on.
Okay. So, John?
Yes, as far as the climate smart community, the goals, I think if you would provide a listing of those goals to the legislature,
I can do that.
Actually see what this is all about.
It would be useful before the final vote on this. Yeah, because
I will send that, and I will also send the ones that we're checking off in this grant, because we strategically picked the ones that we thought were appropriate for Steuben. So.
Okay. So being no other questions, we have a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Get through the first hurdle.
Now the
don't
real
celebrate
work
yet.
As if you didn't. As if you didn't have enough on your plate. Okay, next up, County Manager Jack Wheeler.
Hopefully this will be easier in comparison.
Yeah.
You're getting money.
Should be.
So looking for authorization to renew the contract with Livingston County to provide weights and measures services. And this is a $2,500 increase from previous years. We work with Livingston, and every few years we bump at $2,500. They also pay us mileage separate from this.
Second.
Don't think there's any questions, but any? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Of course not. It's revenue. It's a nice marriage. Okay. So in other business, because we'll bring up the goals request from Mr. Chairman. Our one goal for this committee was VRBO, which, as I discussed with Jack just a few minutes ago, it took us almost 6 months to even get a contact there. And plus COVID was going on at the same time, so things were a little more complicated. So we have made some progress, but we don't have any finalization to that contract. Jack, if you just want to give us a status.
Yeah, nothing. Did you get anything back from them?
No, as you guys have probably recalled, you asked me to reach out because we did have a legal department contact. So I reached out to them shortly after we last discussed this, suggesting that, you know, we would like to discuss with them because there was a possibility of amending our local law for hotel room tax. And it would pick them up in that if we did not have a conversation similar to the Airbnb conversation and contract. I received confirmation that the email was received, and I haven't heard word.
That's it.
So, and we are working on drafting based on that, a local law for you folks to be able to consider. As we talked last time, there are nuances because you have a voluntary collection agreement with one of the third party agencies. So, you know, there's a little bit of wiggling that you have to do. It's not necessarily, I mean, you folks could do whatever you want with the local law, but in our discussions, you know, making the carve out for those that we already have a voluntary collection agreement with, because we're already collecting.
Right.
So that maybe should be a goal for 2022 then.
Of completing a
there's no
room tax thing.
There's no reason that first quarter we couldn't have something for you.
It would be up to the next chairman in this committee to facilitate that.
Because potentially we're talking a lot of money.
Yep.
Tens of thousands.
Yep. Kelly?
I just wanted to ask, if we establish a local law, what kind of enforcement ability would that give us to go after them?
We already have a local law that I've reviewed it a couple of times as we've talked about this, and it already has an enforcement mechanism in it. I wouldn't probably recommend that you change it. The concern I have is the connection between the VRBO rentals and how we find out that those are being rented. The enforcement mechanism with the hotel tax is there's a civil procedure. Tammy sends a letter because she's not receiving the money. We have a hearing. We have a hearing officer. So, I mean, that procedure is about as good as you can get because it's not criminal. I think that's fine. And it's worked since the 90s or whenever that hotel tax has been in place. It's been a long time.
Yeah, we can enforce, and we do enforce. It gets pretty muddy when it's a lot of work for finance to be able to do it. But we see, in the years that I've been here, I think we've run into two issues
Yeah, we usually send out the letter that is required that they haven't paid and
they comply.
Yeah.
That normally gets it, but if it comes a real enforcement action, it's a heavier lift, but we can get it done.
Okay, Mike.
Jack, what do you mean by third party?
So like Airbnb, we have, you folks have the collection, third party rental.
You already have agency. An agreement.
Yeah.
Yep.
They would be carved out of any potential future local law.
Yeah, you have an existing agreement where they're already right. collecting that.
Meaning you wouldn't eliminate the existing right. Airbnb. They would not have to be part of the local law, correct?
Yeah, I think you just change the definition of hotel motel and you say except for Airbnb because of a side agreement. And it would pick up any new entities that get created that are like Airbnb and VRBO.
Right. And any of those that came along, I mean, you could define it that a voluntary collection agreement with a third party such mm-hmm. as Airbnb. Which, so if VRBO did step up or some organization
Home did Away. Step
up, yeah, you could then, you know, have your voluntary collection agreement, which would essentially capture most of the market.
Most of the market anyway. Yeah.
So we're better off though to have Airbnb under the local law? Is there more enforcement?
I think it gets pretty muddy. And this is where some of the issues are going to come. Those people who are renting through VRBO, if we don't have a third party collection agreement, we're essentially requiring the tax to be collected by the homeowner. Where right now Airbnb does that on behalf of the homeowners who rent through right. their platform. So I won't speak for Jen, but my recommendation would be to carve Airbnb out because they're already taking that burden and it's more centralized anyhow. It's just a one shot to us quarterly where the ones, if you don't carve them out, then it's going to go back on the homeowner to remit the tax to the county.
And again, the problem is going to be finding out who those people are that are renting via VRBO. So since we're moving forward, I know a couple of counties that have these agreements and don't have the voluntary collection agreement. So I'm going to talk to them and see how did you create a separate local law that they have to report that so that your collection law, how does that connect? That's where our biggest dilemma is going to be at this point, connecting those two issues.
Yeah, because you're seeing the increase in weekly rentals like on Cuca and Juanita also. It used to be 3,000 a week and now it's 5,000 a week and they're all saying I'm going to 6,000 next. It's mm-hmm. it's major bucks like
well, guys. That's there's market driven. Yeah.
So our Airbnb revenues are about 40,000.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yep, for you.
And they're actually small compared to what VRBO does.
VRBO owns HomeAway. Yeah. So between VRBO and HomeAway,
they do a majority.
Airbnb's maybe just a real rough guess, 40% of the market.
Okay.
So you're missing 60.
Yeah.
Rough
and,
guess.
And the problem I have is it's not uniform. So if you rent from these guys, you have to pay a tax. If you rent from these guys, you don't.
Well,
and so that gives the other ones an advantage.
It does. And, you know, it will be interesting to see what happens. And that's why we were hoping that VRBO with being the parent company of HomeAway too would step up so that you might not be collecting 100% of the market. You might have, you obviously have private people that just do it on the side, mm-hmm. but you're collecting it that way at this point, you know, once it becomes a homeowner responsibility, that's not going to be insignificant for them.
Yeah. And don't they collect tax for various places within New York State already? And they collect tax in other states as well. I think when I went on their website, I saw where they collect tax.
They have to, the sense that I got is, you know, the state taxes and those sort of things that they have to collect. Yes, they do that, but it's, you know, these smaller, I mean, you know, I've seen that they've done it with cities. They obviously did it with Sullivan County. They've done it with larger populations, but I don't know why. I mean, I think Airbnb was ahead of the curve because they knew kind of what was coming from as this market grows mm-hmm. from you all in the local communities. They're ahead of the curve saying, yep, we'll do it. And we'll, you know, I know there was trepidation and uncertainty when we first did that, but it's been a win-win. I mean, it saves us a heck of a lot of time.
Yeah. So. And the fact that they already do it with other counties, but they're not willing to do it with us is, yeah. I mean, that's not acceptable.
Exactly.
They have the mechanism in place already. So it's just you turn on one more county.
Yeah.
Carol.
So is HomeAway a totally separate company?
No.
My understanding is VRBO,
VRBO
purchased HomeAway. So it might be a separate website.
Just but a different name. Right. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So having discussed that goal, it's ongoing for the next chairman and for the next committee to tackle and see where we go with that.
We'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, well, I'll be watching.
I just wanted to say thank you to Robin for all her efforts. And yes. not only on AIT, but other committees as well.
I just wanted to say that I've thoroughly enjoyed this committee. I asked for it a long time ago and was lucky enough to get the chairman spot. And it's been a challenge, but it's also been a lot of fun too. Working with all the AIP committee members from both past and present, and the county manager and the deputy and the county attorney and all the department heads, thank you for all the help. I think this is a pretty important committee, but we're down to a system of committees that they're all important: administration, finance, health and education, all of them. So it's certainly an honor to be here. This is my last in-person meeting. I'll see you on Zoom. I'll be in office for another 30 days. So
yes,
counting down the days now.
Thank you.
But thank you all. Really, you've been very supportive and we can't do it alone. We know that. It all takes all of us.
So Robin, thank you. I just needed to do and so does Fred, a quick report from Cornell Cooperative Extension because they couldn't make the meeting.
Okay.
So a couple of things I'll do and a couple of things he'll do. First of all, I was going to mention that to the group that I did send an email to Chris Watkins, who is the director of Cornell Cooperative Extension for the state. And he did acknowledge my email. And it was my email. It wasn't butterflies or whatever you said it might have been, but it was explaining our issue and our concern about what the directive was from CCE to our local extension. And he did respond and said that he was apologizing and said that they would take it up at one of their next meetings. So I have not heard since, but I will follow up with an email that asks how'd they made out, you know. But a couple of things that Tess wanted us to talk about. She said, this is her report, successful achievement night where awards were given to over 100 youth in the 4-H on November 6th. Everyone was masked the whole time. The annual dinner went well. I was there. It was at the...
It was at a brewery.
It was a distillery. Barrel 6 something. Barrel 6. So it was Barrel 6. Barrel House 6, I think it was. And we recognized various people, including ProAction, Amy Rusak from ProAction, the Farm Bureau, a 4-H youth, Braxton Elliott, and a 4-H club leader who has been a leader for 70 years, Phyllis Rathbun.
Yeah, in North Cohocton.
Yeah.
I have to tell you that
she and her family were there.
I know her personally, and she had my kids. She had my ex-husband and my gosh, Jean's almost 70. So he was in 4-H with her. She's just wonderful. And you know what's amazing in this new technology era of cooperative extension and 4-H groups? She's gone right along with it. You know, she's trying not to do paper reports anymore. She's trying to get electronic. I mean, and my grandchildren are now in her 4-H.
Oh, isn't that something? Well, she was at the dinner and her family to support her. It was well done. All these awards were well done.
Good. I'm glad she got her due because,
boy,
she's done it for years.
Right. Yes, we were at the mashed potato circuit.
I was.
Good. Thank you.
I love mashed potatoes.
Mr. Potter?
Yes, just a couple of other things she wanted us to mention. They're gearing up to do various education for youth through 4-H, including archery, wreath making, cooking, baking, and geocaching. I don't know what that is, but probably other people do.
It's treasure hunting.
Yeah. With your
phone. Okay. And then they're gearing up to do education for farmers for them to get their credits. they usually get in the winter, like the crap Congress, women in agriculture, and so forth.
Okay.
So they've been busy, and they've also provided the lunch for our event last week to celebrate your retirement.
Thank that. I'm going to send her a note.
So
definitely, that was very nice. Okay. Any other input? If not, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not me.
So this is not part of this. I should have mentioned it in Carol's meeting. I usually try to tell you guys about